in awe in thrilling new living sound.
Kill me with that cool.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the latest Cleveland Browns draft coverage directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for the Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. And I got to tell you, if you don't have the Cleveland Browns app and you're a Browns fan, which I'm going to assume that you are because you're listening to this show, get it. You can get everything. You can get this show broken up by segment. So you want to find the great interviews from this show? You want to find the big debates? You can do that easily. All the videos that are produced by ClevelandBrowns.com. You want to see the first interviews with Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert. You want to see hear the audio of the phone call made to Justin Gilbert by Ray Farmer, Mike Pettine, and Jimmy Haslam to tell him that the Browns were drafting him with their first pick in this year's draft. It's all there at your fingertips on the app. It's a great app.
Hey, before we move on here, I just want to ask you something. Now, Gilbert is a great return guy.
Also, yes.
Okay. Now, Joe Hayden was a return guy when he came into the league. He had returned at Florida, and he returned in his rookie year, especially during preseason. They were giving Cribs a little time off before the season started. Would you, if he starts a corner, and we anticipate that he starts a corner, would you risk putting him back there to return?
Now, the Cards did it with Patrick Peterson, so we'll see. He did have six return touchdowns as a returner.
That's right. And it was
at Oklahoma
and a starter.
State, two as a defensive back. He had two interception returns for touchdowns. So maybe. It just gives you more options. Some other guys they brought in I think will have the opportunity to maybe return the ball as well. But, yeah, so Pierre Desir, by the way, averaged almost 38 yards per kickoff return at Lindenwood. So maybe he'll get an opportunity as well. Big, strong, fast guys from the defensive back position. Let's go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now and bring in Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Scott, you're on with Nathan Zagura and the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan. And let's start with the news of the day. Joe Hayden, five-year extension, keeping him on the Browns through 2019, reportedly worth $68 million, making him the highest-paid cornerback and the highest-paid Brown. Scott, what's your reaction to this?
Oh, it's good news for Browns fans. You know, I mean, good teams keep their best players, and I think the Browns have started to do that, and Joe Hayden's obviously one of their best players, and I think it just continues a solid offseason that, you know, free agency, the draft, and keeping Alex Mack.
Hey, Scott, don't you think there was a point where Hayden really grew up? You know, he grew up in life, and he certainly grew up as a football player, and I really do hope for the young guy that Josh Gordon goes through the same thing, but there was a point in time where Joe Hayden really grew up, I thought. And I think he realized when he missed those four games how much he meant to the team and how he took maybe the ability for them to win those games because he wasn't playing. You know, he took that away from them. And then he came back. I thought he came back a very different guy, a very grown-up guy, very much more mature.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. I think the suspension played a big role. Then he got married right around the suspension. He got engaged during the suspension, I think, and not get married in the offseason. And he credits a lot of his maturity to that. But you're right, Jim, it was obvious. I mean, I remember the suspension. He got in that fight with Pat Shurmur training camp that year and got thrown out of practice. You heard different
That's
things
right.
about him and Shurmur going at it during team meetings. I think he really grew up. You know, DeQuell Jackson would tell stories about what Joe was like as a rookie, and then you could see the growth and the maturity, and there weren't the late nights, and there weren't the partying and the maybe falling asleep in meetings. I think he's outgrown all that stuff, and he's become a trusted, reliable player. And it is weird to think that it was only a season ago that he was suspended.
Right,
it was only
that's
2012,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not that long ago. And the guy's only 25. He just turned 25. So the Browns and their fans should be able to expect a lot of good years left out of Joe.
You know, I remember they let him play the opening game that year. He
right?
played in the opening game,
right.
And I remember Drew Rosenhaus was with him in the tunnel, and he came out of the locker room after the game, and he had everything packed up, because at that point then, right, Scott, he couldn't be with the team at all.
Right.
And I remember him walking out, and he looked like, not only had they lost the opener, it was the Eagle game, I believe, but, I mean, he was one of the saddest guys, you know, around, because they had, here they were, and he had to leave. I mean, and it was the reality of it. And he was a very disappointed guy that day.
And I think he did appreciate what a profound effect he had, his absence had on the team. Because then they started 0-5 that year. They lost all four games of suspension. And then he missed a game in Dallas with an injury,
right.
And they lost an overtime game there, where that season, really might have swung if Joe Hayden had played, because they lost a bunch of close games
in
the five that he missed, you know. So it's he's obviously incredibly valuable.
He is incredibly valuable, and the Browns made that very clear today with the terms of the extension being reported $68 million, making him the highest paid cornerback in the league and the highest paid member of the Cleveland Browns. Scott, what do you say, or what do you have to say about this front office just a few months removed from utter chaos? I think that's the only way that it could be described, to see where they are now. As someone who covers this team and has for a long time, what is your feeling on them right now?
Yeah, I've been impressed with Ray Farmer. You know, you never know what to expect when you get a guy in a new job for the first time, and that's what Ray is, and, you know, Mike Pence the same way. But I've been impressed with Ray. I was impressed with the way the Alex Mack situation worked out. You know, I was concerned that by not franchising him, that would cost the Browns, and I thought that would be a big mistake for Ray in his first time out, but it worked out okay for the Browns. I think he stuck to his plan in the draft, which couldn't have been easy, you know, especially with the Josh Gordon news. I think it would have been natural to take a receiver, and I'm not saying that wouldn't have been the right move, but I think it showed something about Ray Farmer that he didn't change his plan that he'd been working on for months, and he stuck to it. And then, you know, I think we all knew that the Joe Hayden deal was going to get done, but the fact that they got it done before, you know, they head off for the offseason and you take any drama out of it, you know, it's just business as usual. And I don't know if you could always assume that from a rookie GM.
I agree with that, and you hit the nail on the head, sticking to the plan as we turn our attention to the draft of last week. In light of the Josh Gordon news, the Browns stuck to their plan, stuck to their board. We're very happy that they got a lot of guys. All six of the guys were very highly rated on their draft board, especially at number 35, Joel Bitonio, in a class of his own at that point in the draft. How do you rate the job that they did on this draft as a whole, and then also in the context of the Josh Gordon situation?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. You know, it's so tough to grade them. But, you know, I'd probably give it a B, B plus. I like all the individual moves. I think they addressed plenty of needs. Cornerback, like we've talked about a million times, was at the top of my list of needs. So they addressed it at the first pick with Justin Gilbert. I love that trade back, the fact you get a number one next year and you address your number one need. I like Pierre. I think that's a good pickup. I think he's got a lot of potential. And Clarence West has a chance to be the steal of the draft in the fourth round. You know, the inside linebacker addressed the need. I don't know if he's big enough, but I like the fact that he can cover, and that was an area that Craig Robertson struggled with last year.
Sure.
But to me, you know, I like all those picks, but this draft will be judged on Johnny Manziel, and I was not a huge Johnny Manziel fan going into the draft, and, you know, that wouldn't have changed because I haven't seen him play any football yet. So I think that's a huge question mark. Same questions I had before the draft I still have about Johnny Manziel. I do like the fact that Kyle Shanahan, I believe the offensive coordinator, I believe he will be able to take advantage of Manziel's unique skill set.
Well, that will be the key thing, Scott.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, this kid brings a unique talent. He's got unique abilities. And that's what you're going to have to do. You don't bring him. You know, you want him to stay in the pocket a little bit longer than he did at Texas A&M and everything. But I mean, if you can't, you know, you got to let him be Johnny Manziel too. I mean, that's what got him this far. That's what got him to the heights that you know, he won a Heisman.
Sure.
You know, I mean, he is a very special talent. Now, how you let that go and expose that will tell you if he's effective and if he was the right pick for you.
Right, that's exactly right. And I can envision, you know, the bootlegs that you see Houston run, and we saw Kirk Cousins beat the Browns with that one year, you know, where he's out on his own and you don't have all those big bodies. You don't have all those big bodies gumming up the works and getting in his way. So I see that, and I see Johnny on the edge maybe making some plays. Could even run a little bit of that read option if you want. So I like the fact that Kyle Shanahan's going to be the guy working with him, but it doesn't change the fact that Johnny's under 6 feet and he's not the biggest guy in the world and he could get broken into. So those are still the questions I have, but it's going to generate a ton of excitement. I think there's a chance that there's a big upside to Johnny Manziel, and I like the other picks a lot. I think those are all solid picks, and then if Johnny Manziel turns out to be a quarterback that can win in this division, then the draft's a grand slam.
And it's a grand slam. You're right, talking with Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Speaking of Johnny Manziel, we heard the head coach, Mike Pettine, has told him that you are going to be the backup on this team until you earn the right to start. You're going to be like any other rookie who has to come in, know their role, and earn their keep. In your mind right now, when do you think, or do you think, Johnny Manziel becomes the starter in 2014?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, it's really, obviously, it's too early to tell. If I had to bet, I would say that he's a starter week one, just because I don't know. I think he's different than a Blake Bortles, who I think will learn a lot on a year, you know, from a year on the bench. I think Johnny Style isn't going to get any better if he sits on he sits for a year. I think he's the kind of guy that needs to see NFL defenses, needs to see what that speed and quickness is like, and if he can run away from these defenders and these pass rushers like he did at A&M. But having said that, I like Brian Hoyer. I think Brian Hoyer is going to do everything he can not to give up that job. And I think it's obviously the right move for the Browns to tell Manziel that he is coming in as a backup. Needs to have that mentality, because you can't have a guy with the questions he's had off the field in his background. You can't let him feel entitled day one in the NFL, and that's what the Browns are trying to prevent.
Well, they say he's, you know, he's a gym rat. I mean, you know, that he loves the game. And so if he is, he's got time now to really soak it up. The thing about the Browns coaching staff and everybody in the building and is this, that if you did decide to keep him as like a backup quarterback to the point where Hoyer does begin the year, you know, as Doug Deacon always says about offensive linemen on third and one, now you remember you got to hold your water and you got to stay on side. You can't get the false start penalty and make it third and six. The thing here, Scott, if you make that decision there on the first three and out, okay, that Brian Hoyer or the Browns offense would have, there's going to be pressure right away. And so if you're committed to make him the backup, then you got to, you know, you can't flinch. There's going to be a great deal of crowd pressure, media pressure, national pressure. That people want to see what this is all about. In other words, they want him in.
That's exactly right. I think there's going to be two fascinating issues that come out of it. One's Mike Pettine. How does a rookie coach handle the phenomenon of Johnny Manziel, and does he stick to his guns? And the second is the fans. I mean, we know how tough the fans are on quarterbacks. You know, I mean, I've grown up, you know, I lived here my whole life. We know how hard they are on quarterbacks, but Brian Hoyer is a hometown guy, right? So I think there's a segment of fans that want him to succeed, but I think there might be a bigger segment that wants to see Johnny football. So I'm fascinated to see if the fans turn, when they turn, how that all plays out.
Last question, Scott. Wide receiver, still a position that needs to be addressed on some level, although ultimately we don't know the outcome of this Josh Gordon thing, but it doesn't sound great at this point. What would you expect to see the Browns do? Because Ray Farmer has alluded to the fact that they're not done at that position, and you don't play games till September, so the opportunities for free agents or potential trades are out there. How do you see that position playing out, and how significant of a need do you think it is, given the philosophy that the Browns clearly are going to have of playing great defense and running the football?
Yeah, I still think it's really significant. I mean, we've seen a lot of young quarterbacks' careers doomed by not having guys to throw to. You know, I don't think, and I was never a big Colt McCoy fan, but I didn't think he ever had quality receivers to throw to. So it'd be a shame for Johnny not to have somebody he can rely on as a receiver. So I think they're going to do it. I think Ray has some options of trades in mind, guys who might become available because of the draft and they're considered too expensive to keep. I think he'll have an eye on that, and I think that any veteran receiver that gets cut from now until the season starts, Ray's can examine him and think, is this guy better than what I have right now, and he will continue to improve the team. Question is, none of those guys is going to be as good as Josh Gordon, but can you bring in two or three that kind of help bridge the gap?
Right, and that's the thing. People need to remember that patience, I think, could be a virtue here, because with all these receivers drafted as highly as they were, that means there could be an opportunity for some good older guys to hit the streets when teams decide to replace them with the younger, cheaper options. And how amazing is it today, on a day when Joe Hayden was signed, that the Browns, who have had so many issues in their defensive backfield, could be set up basically for the next 5 years, because they can always pick up a fifth-year option on Gilbert as a first-round pick, with two lockdown corners for a long time. It could be a wonderful thing. Scott, appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, when we come back, let's get the phone lines going again, 216-578-0850. We're going to have a brief time for a few phone calls before we go around the National Football League on the Blitz. We're going to check out Minnesota and Buffalo, talk about their drafts, the trade that went down, and much, much more when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.